Good morning and welcome to every one of you, to all our visitors who are with us today, to all our members, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to each one of you. This month I've been talking about the various acts of worship that we perform, that we engage in when we come together, like here today. And so far, I've talked about the Lord's Supper, and I've talked about singing. And what I've been doing is getting up, and before each of these acts of worship, I've been reading some passages and talking about what it is that we're doing and why we're doing it. And today, I'm going to be talking about things. I'm going to talk about preaching the Word, and I guess I could have gone up and talked about the preaching before I did the preaching, but that didn't really make a lot of sense. So this is it. Preach the Word. We just sang a song in which all of us together asked our Father, asked God to break the bread of life to us, to teach us the truth, to guide us in that truth. And we sing that, of course, a lot of times before the sermon, because that's what the sermon is about. It's about breaking the bread of life. It's about sharing the truth of God's Word. And that is such an important part of worship. Let's talk about it for a few moments today. Let's read this passage that John read for us at the beginning of our service. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul writes to Timothy, who is an evangelist, who is a preacher, and he says, you need to do your job. Timothy preached in Ephesus and perhaps in some other places. And Paul writes to Timothy and he says, there are a lot of things that you need to be doing. And one of them that you need to do is you need to preach the word to these brethren. And he says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. You know, he says all of that, but this is the imperative, this is the command, this is what he's telling him to do, preach the word. And everything he says up to that point is in reminding Timothy about how important it is that you do that last bit. In the presence of God, by his appearing, I solemnly charge you. That's some serious reasons. Preach the word. Now, in the context, the preaching of the word that he's talking about would appear to be to the church, to brethren. Because he goes on to say specifically what you do when you preach the word. He says, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. When we proclaim the word of God in the worship assembly, we do so primarily to each other, to fellow Christians. Now, hopefully there are always people in the audience who are not Christians, who have not obeyed the gospel, and hopefully you will learn from what we talk about what you need to do in order to become a Christian, in order to enjoy the benefits and blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And I hope that you do today. But primarily what we do in the preaching in the assembly is we're proclaiming God's word to each other and encouraging and exhorting and even correcting one another. And you might say, well, you're the preacher, you're the one who's doing the preaching, you're the one who's doing the rebuking and the reproving and so on and so forth. Well, it's true, I am doing it. But I can't do it without you being here. I can't do it without you listening. It is a mutual effort that we are engaged in here. It's not just me getting up here and droning on for 30 minutes and you just kind of biding your time till, oh man, I'm glad that's over with. No, that's not the idea. You understand, this is an act of worship that we all engage in. And it's a solemn responsibility in the presence of God and by His appearing that we all engage in this activity, that we do it together. So let's talk about it. Teaching God's Word assembly is an act of worship. It's only an act of worship if you're doing it, right? Talked about that in a prior lesson. I'm convinced that the reason a lot of people don't engage in worship is because they've never done it. Actually engage in worship. To pour out their heart in song. To actually embrace the death of Jesus in the Lord's Supper. And to actually listen to a sermon and actually think hard about what is being said. And to understand that that is from God. And that is true. And that means something to me personally. Because when you do that, that's worship. And it's meaningful. It's powerful. It's an act of worship. It honors God. To listen to what God would have us to hear honors God. You're not honoring me. I don't need to be honored. It's not about me. If I am truly proclaiming the Word of God and I read the Scriptures and I'm explaining them and I'm exhorting from them, then when you listen to those things, you're not honoring me. You're honoring God. And if you're not listening and if you're not engaging in it, then you're not honoring God. If anything, you're dishonoring Him. And it brings God into our lives. Take my coat off here. Is God in your life? Well, how can God be in your life if you don't invite Him into your life? And how do you do that? Well, you pray to Him. You read His Word. You try to practice your faith. All of those things bring God into your life. God providentially cares for you. God's in your life all of the time in ways that you don't even realize. But one of the most important ways that God comes into your life is through His Word. And I know I don't read the Bible like I ought to, and I'm doing it all the time. Are you doing it like you ought to? Probably not. And so what we do here for 30 minutes during this worship assembly, and I really try to make it 30 minutes. You may not believe that, but I try really hard. And I think I do a pretty good job. But for 30 minutes, we are all together looking at the Word of God. And God is coming into your life. He is speaking to you through His Word. And all I'm doing is I'm forcing the issue. I'm making you do something. But, you know, you're not able to do anything else. Look at you, just sitting there. And you're all looking right at me, and you're looking at these words. You're thinking about them, and I am concentrating you, your thoughts upon the Word of God. And that is bringing God into your life. If you're paying attention. And it draws us closer to Him. The way that we make a connection with people is that we engage with them in conversation. They speak to us, we speak to them. That's the primary method of all relationships. Do you want a relationship with God? Do you really? That's what this is all about. That's what religion is about. That's what is going to either happen or not happen when you die. You're either going to have a relationship with God or you're not going to have one. And you're really going to want one when you die. But in order to have one then, you have to have one now. And to have one now, you have to listen to God. You have to let God speak to you. And you cannot pass up that opportunity. If you want God in your life, draw closer to Him. Really think about the things that He's trying to say to you. When Paul starts out by saying, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God. When he says that, what he's saying is you need to preach the Word to them to bring the presence of God into their life. Of course, it gives us guidance and encouragement. How do I know how to live? And how can I possibly live that way? When I'm constantly being beaten up and beaten down and tempted and tried and life is tough and it's hard, and we get together here and we read these words and we encourage. To encourage means to give courage. To embolden. To lift up. To inspire. The Word of God can do that. But you have to listen to it. You have to think about it. Take it in. That's what we're engaged in here. That's the exercise. And to that end, Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, until I come, give attention to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Give attention to it. Well, it doesn't do any good for me to give attention to it if you don't give attention to it. It's public for a reason. We do this together for a reason. Now, you have your own Bible. You've probably got two or three or four or five at home, and you can read them anytime you want to. But what do when we do it publicly, when we do it together? We are all together focusing our attention on the Word of God. And we're listening to somebody exhort to us that Word and encourage us from that Word. It's essential that you do that. The Lord wants us to do it. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6, and pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith. Constantly nourished on the words of the faith and on the sound doctrine which you have been following. If you want to be nourished in the faith, then you have to come and let me do this. Point these things out to you. And, I strive to nourish and to encourage and exhort and to rebuke. I strive to do that. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'll say more about that in a moment. But 2 Timothy 2:4, remind them of these things. We all need reminding, don't we? Solemnly charge them in the presence of God. There's that presence of God again. We are still honoring God. Right now, we're honoring God, reading these words in His presence. And it's a solemn responsibility. Not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of hearers. This is part of the thing that we do. You know, it's a corrective. It's like a course correction. If you've ever steered a boat, it is so easy to get off course. And you have to keep watching that compass. Or today you got a GPS. Or in the ancient times, they would have sightings of stars, celestial objects. Stay on the path. And when you get off the path, you get back on the path. And we have to be reminded, constantly reminded of that. Constantly reminded because we get off the path. And if we were all just on our own, if you were on your own and I was on my own, it would be so easy for us to get off the path. It's hard enough to stay on the path as it is. But that's what we do. We come together and we remind ourselves of these corrections that we need to make. Solemnly charge them in the presence of God to do that. Well, I can't solemnly charge you in the presence of God if you're not together here with us in the presence of God. I can't do that. I can't remind you. That's why it's important that we do this. These things, Titus 2:15, he writes to Titus, another evangelist, these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. When I was a kid, sometimes I would be guilty of not listening to my mother. I'm sure you never did that, but I did. I didn't listen. And sometimes she would do something. Did you ever have this experience? Or she would grab my head. She would turn my head to her. not in a hurtful way. And she would say, "You listen to me." Now, there's some of that in the Bible. Nehemiah was a preacher of God's word, and he would grab people by the beard. Well, I'm not going to go out there and I'm not going to grab your head and I'm not going to turn it to me. I'm not going to do that. But that is your job. Don't disregard what's being said. It's not about me. It's about the Word of God. I'll say more about that in a moment. My obligation is to teach the truth of God's Word. I'll say something about it right now. That's my obligation, to teach the Word of God. This is not 30 minutes of Doug Raymer. That's not what it is. And if I give you that impression, I am sorry. I apologize. It is what I am saying. If what I'm saying is the Word of God, then it is what I'm saying that you are to honor, that you are to listen to, that you are to respect. You can disrespect me. It doesn't matter. You don't have to honor me. You don't even have to like me. It's not about me. I learned a long time ago that as an evangelist, you can't have an ego. Now, I've got one, but it comes out in different ways. But when it comes to preaching the Word of God, if you don't like something that I say, it does not hurt my feelings. It doesn't. All I care about is preaching the Word of God. And if I'm preaching the Word of God and you don't like what I say, that's not my problem. I'm sorry to be blunt and frank about it, but I'm not here to make you happy. I'm not here to satisfy you. I'm not here to just pat you on the back and send you on your way. I'm here to proclaim the Word of God. And if your life is at odds with the Word of God, then you've got a problem. And the whole point of this exercise is to help you deal with that problem. And I can't help you deal with that problem unless I preach the truth to you. That's what I'm supposed to do, preach the Word. Don't preach theory, human philosophy, cultural approbations, positive, something that just got a positive reinforcement of what you're already doing, that's useless. Preach the Word. Paul says to Timothy, in season and out of season. What does that mean? It means sometimes people don't like it. Makes them angry, upsets them. It's not what they want to hear. Preach it anyway. You know how useless it is to tell you what you want to hear? That's useless. Preach the Word. Acts 20 and verse 20, Paul, as he's leaving, departing, he's saying, I want you to know, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house. Solemnly testifying, verse 21, to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus. I didn't hold anything back. I didn't... Anything that I could think of that was what God wanted you to hear, I told you. And he goes on to say in verses 26 and 27, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. And that is what we're supposed to be doing here, to declare the whole purpose of God, because the parts that other people leave out, the parts that they shy away from, the parts that they won't preach and they won't teach because they're not popular, because people don't want to hear them, that's the parts that are going to send people to hell. That's the parts that people are... How can you respond to a truth that tells you you're in error if you never hear it? And so, I'll say it again, I'm not here to make you happy. Now, I hope that you are. As a consequence of hearing the truth, and being corrected by it and being reminded of it and being told that you need to adhere to it, and then you make that choice to adhere to it, as painful and as difficult and challenging as it is sometimes, and it is. Because we're sinners. And God's Word tells us we're sinners. And it tells us what we need to do to correct ourselves. And it tells us that if we will strive for that, that God's correcting it, we can be happy. But if the objective is just to be happy, just hear something that makes you happy, that's useless. And Paul says, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. And I want to be able to leave this place saying the same thing. I'm not sure that I am. Maybe there's something I'm overlooking, and I'm always thinking about that. Always. I try to preach the truth. I try to. The whole purpose of God, to not shrink back from it. Because, you know, why does Paul even say that? Because the temptation is so great to shrink back. As a congregation, as back. We can't do it. We cannot do it. Of course, it's your obligation to hear it and to weigh it and accept it. You got to listen to it to begin with, and then you have to assess it by the Word of God, and then and if it is the Word of God, you need to accept it. And I talked about Nehemiah. That's what Nehemiah did. He and the priests and the Levites, they read to the law to the people. He read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday. And so I've got till noon. I've got till noon, according to Nehemiah. Until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, you know, that's important. And all the people were attentive to the book of the law. That's the way it's supposed to work. Stay attentive. Stay attentive. The Levites explained the book from the law of God, translated to give the sense that they understood the reading. And you know, why do we even have a preacher? Well, preachers not only read the Word, they explain the Word, and then they apply the Word. They exhort and they rebuke and they encourage from the Word. They say, this is what the Word of God says, this is what the Word of God means, and this is what you should do with that information, so that you can leave this place understanding the Word of God and what you need to do. It is so important that be part of the exercise. You need to understand the reading. And that's what I'm trying to do. Acts 10 and verse 33. Cornelius and his household, they send for Peter. And he says, I have sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all